RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice.
Welcome back to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. Welcome to our summer special number 6. This will be our last summer special before the season starts. And boy, I am looking forward so very much to season 3 here.
Oh, me too. It feels like it's coming up quickly now, but it's been a long summer, and they've been teasing us, giving stuff to us all summer, and
yep.
You know, Stephen Amell has spent his summer fighting cancer, making wine, and parkouring, I guess.
Parkouring and playing with his son.
I'm playing with his son. Yep. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Well, our last special aired towards the end of July, almost 2 months ago now, and a lot of stuff has happened, so I just want to kind of do a rundown here. We've seen a lot of teasers for the show now. If you've been paying attention, there's a season 3 trailer out there that reveals almost all of Ra's al Ghul, which I can't believe the costume that they've got. I mean, you know, when I heard that Ra's al Ghul was going to be in, like, Batman Begins, I was all excited, and then they didn't quite do it the way that I wanted to have them do it. And from what I've seen so far from the Arrow teaser, it's like, this is what I'm excited about.
Yeah, that should be pretty cool. But before they really revealed much about Ra's al Ghul, Liam Neeson actually said he would love to play it on Arrow.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be Liam Neeson.
No, they've cast somebody else, a guy named Matthew Nabel. Which I don't know much about, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with that character. But you know, it sounds like that it's in good hands here. I don't doubt they will that they will not disappoint. So
no, I don't think they will either.
The Arrow season 2.5 comic is coming out on a biweekly basis. The second issue, I guess, is out now at Comixology or through the DC purchase store. September 29th will be issue number 3. If you guys are not reading that, there is some important stuff going on in this that may or may not relate to season 3. There is a return of a very interesting character, and I don't want to say any more because it's a surprise in the comic, and I think if they do something with it in season 3, it'll even be more of a surprise. If you don't want to get the digital comics, though, print versions are going to be available. The print version of number 1 is coming out at the beginning of October. Number 2 is coming out at the beginning of November, and number 3 is coming out at the beginning of December. So you can check those out. Arrow had quite a presence at San Diego Comic Con, so they.
And every other con since.
Yeah, they've been showing up all over the place. And we've been getting all sorts of different announcements here. So I kind of want to run down the announcements because there's actually some discussion topics that Josh and I have been wanting to talk about for our last two summer specials. But, I mean, seriously, when you think that we've been able to do two summer specials, Josh, that are both probably about 45 minutes to an hour long, just on the news that they've been talking about for, upcoming season 3, That's insane. That's a lot of news. So I'm very excited.
They have really kept it in the spotlight in the off season.
Very much so, and it's great because I think that still there's kind of that stigma that we've talked about before. You know, the fact that it's on CW and everything like that. So it's interesting to see that people are coming around to the show. I mean, the buzz online, everybody seems really excited about it, at least that, you know, I'm watching in the Arrow circles here and stuff like that. So we found out that Wildcat will be showing up on the show. He is a character from the DC Universe. also known as Ted Grant. Not the same Ted Grant from the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Oh, dang.
Just, I know. I figured I'd had to get that out there because I'm sure you were going to be confused.
My name's Wildcat.
Oh, that would really be awesome. So, Wildcat's usually
like
an older character.
Probably not a lot of people would, but I would love it.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Wildcat's usually an older character who is kind of a mentor to some of the younger characters. He's an ex-boxer that dresses up in a Wildcat uniform, but of course it's on CW, so it's going to be a younger guy, but also former boxer. They're trying to keep the same storyline. We found out that Felicity's mother will be showing up on an episode. She will be played by Charlotte Ross, who I'm not familiar with the actress there. But there's an episode devoted to Felicity. So now this is Arrow-related information. The Clock King, who was in an episode here in Season 2, he's going to show up again, but he's going to actually be moving over to Central City and show up on the Flash episode. And I think we're going to be doing this a lot. I feel like this is going to kind of be an old saying by halfway through the season where it's like, so you have to go over and watch the Flash to find out more about this character, or, oh, this character that just showed up, he was on The Flash last week. There's going to be a lot of trades going on between these two shows, I feel.
You think it's going to be a lot? I don't feel like it's going to be too much. I think just occasionally.
They keep talking about stuff that they want to do. I feel like there's just going to be, you know, they're going to be cross. Well, there's at least one crossover episode we know about. We've got some characters from Arrow showing up on The Flash. I don't know. It seems to me like, and not that it's a bad thing. It makes it for a richer universe where, you know, it's like when you're reading a comic book and there's that little asterisk and it says, oh, if you want to find out what happens to this character next, you know, check out, you know, next month.
That used to cost me so much lunch money in college.
See, but what a great way to get people to watch another show.
Yeah, well, that's how I got. I bought a lot of comic books that I didn't normally buy that way.
Exactly.
The storylines were so good, you know?
Yeah. So Mark Guggenheim tweeted this the other week, which was a huge excitement to me. Captain Boomerang is coming to Arrow. And I'm like, wait, did I read that right? He meant Captain Boomerang's coming to Flash, didn't he? But no, he's actually was correct. Captain Boomerang is going to be showing up on Arrow. Now, Captain Boomerang is a Flash villain, but this is the one Flash villain that I told you, Josh, that they have to put on the show. Like, he has to be on first season because he's one of the main rogues gallery kind of bad guys
for sure,
and he's awesome. But the other thing that's I think is hilarious about it is that it's yet another Spartacus actor. Nick Terabay will be playing him. So let's see. So how many Spartacus actors do we have so far? We got Captain Boomerang, we've got Amanda Waller, we've got Deadshot, Deadpool, Deathstroke. That's who it is.
A lot of death in there. It's
exactly.
It's hard to keep them all.
Yeah, Deathstroke, and then Talia al Ghul. Those are all the people that have been on Spartacus. So there's a lot of Spartacans, Spartaculars.
Was it Nissa al Ghul or Talia?
Oh, I'm sorry, Nissa.
Nissa, yeah.
I'm getting her confused with her.
All those al Ghuls, you know, they're just.
Yeah, I can never keep them straight.
So, and I'm excited to have the Spartacus actors and actresses because they're doing such a good job. I really like the characters they're playing.
Yeah, yeah. And then we've got a cool little announcement here that you guys may have heard about. But Josh, I'm going to let you take this because you're such a huge fan.
Okay. Well, we love talking about comic book shows, and we got Green Justice. We're talking about Arrow. This will be the third season. I'm really excited about that. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, is going into its second season on lots of high notes from last. But there's a brand new superhero. There's several brand new superhero shows on TV, but one that I've been excited about, and I'm sure you know if you've heard this show, is The Flash is coming to the CW, and of course it's tied very closely to Arrow. But you know how excited I I get about The Flash because
I know how excited
always
you get.
Been a huge fan of The Flash. So I'm sure you all predicted this, but we're going to do a Flash podcast. We're going to discuss each episode of The Flash, just like we do each week with Arrow and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Our Flash podcast is called Scarlet Velocity. So, you know, hopefully you are tuning into The Flash and listening to what we have to say about The Flash on Scarlet Velocity, but also participating with us on another Facebook page and Twitter. And, you know, feel free to email us because this is so much fun to talk about.
And if you go look for that show now, you can search for it in iTunes and or you can go to randomchatter.com. Our first episode is up, which is actually a zero episode. Josh and I decided to get all excited for the upcoming Flash show by going back to the 1990s and watching all 22 episodes of that Flash show. We did it, so you don't have to. So, and
oh, come
we
on,
find
parachute
out,
pants are fun.
And I think we found a little bit about ourselves in the process. So, on another ABC After School special. So let me give you a quick rundown before we get into some of our discussion topics about all the other characters that were announced this summer that you guys may have missed about. So we've got Amy Gumenik playing a character called Cupid. Ryla Fukushima, who was in The Wolverine, she was the younger kind of sidekick character to Wolverine in that. She will be playing Katana. Now, previously, Katana was announced to be being played by Devin Aoki from Sin City, but she needed to bow out, so Ryla Fukushima will be replacing her. Brandon Routh, of course, Superman from the Superman Returns, will be playing Ray Palmer, a.k.a. the Atom. And it sounds like there is a costume that will be coming with that character at some point this season. Very exciting. David Cubitt will be playing a character called Manhunter. Now, there have been many Manhunters in the DC Universe. Probably the best well-known one is the alien Martian Manhunter. That is not this one. This Manhunter is sort of a kind of a Batman esque character. It's just a person who is physically trained and fights, you know, for justice, and
he hunts men,
pizza and stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah, he is the hunter of men. That's what he does. Matt Ward will be playing a character called Komodo, as in Komodo dragon. This is the first character pulled directly from the New 52 Green Arrow series. This is a villain that hasn't existed before the last couple years since New 52 was created. As I mentioned above or earlier, J.R. Ramirez will be playing Wildcat. Carl Yoon will be playing Maseo Yamashiro. And then Vertigo will be returning, but being played this season by Peter Stormare. So is that a new character or one that's had a facelift or what? We'll have to find out what they're doing. I think it's just a new character that's now calling himself Vertigo.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
As we mentioned, Felicity's mom is showing up, and then also Felicity's ex-boyfriend from MIT, Nolan Funk, is showing up. Also mentioned previously, Ra's al Ghul, Matthew Nabel, and John Barrowman will be returning to Arrow as a series regular. So he has been upgraded from, I guess, what, supporting guest star or something like that. Along with appearances from Katie Lotz and Colin Donnell. Katie Lotz is an interesting character to say that's coming back because basically at the end of season two, Canary just took off. So, you know, we don't know what happened, but, you know, this will be like 8 or 9 months later. So, you know, all sorts of stuff could happen. And then Colin Donnell's been dead for a season and an episode. So, but I'm sure there's always great flashback stuff they can do with him. He's fun. I'm really sad they killed him off, but I'm glad that we get to keep seeing him coming back every now and again.
Well, so I'm guessing that those flashbacks will be, you know, shortly before Oliver left for the island. And some storyline that's connected to that, I guess. I mean, I have no idea, but
unless they do flashbacks with Laurel when Oliver is apparently dead and she and Tommy are trying to get together or something like that. I mean,
that's true. That's true.
They've started to branch
that
out, right? Flashbacks don't necessarily all have to take place with Oliver now. Yeah. I mean, because they did the one Diggle flashback, so they've kind of set a precedent that they don't have to relate to that. It's just that it will be a flashback. And I like that, you know, third season, let's branch out a little bit. Let's do some other characters' flashbacks for the episode. You know, give the backstory to an entirely non-standard character. Like, if they do flashbacks with Felicity, or if they did flashbacks with Diggle or Lila or...
Or the Russian maid. Where did she go?
Where did she go?
The Russian maid from the very first episode.
From the pilot. You know what? She may be the big bad coming up. Who knows? I don't know.
That's her supervillain name is Russian maid. That's not actually her real name, but
she has speed powers.
She's got
and
speed
maid
duster.
Is spelled MADE, right? So she's a Russian maid speedster, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. All right. So,
all right. Sorry. Another
something
Russian
we've been wanting to talk about here since the end of season two, but I think it works out good showing up on this episode, is I want to talk a little just about where we think these characters are going to go where we last saw them in season, at the end of season two. And this may be a little bit difficult to talk about without getting into some potential hypothetical debate, just due to the fact that we've been seeing some previews and teasers and stuff for season three here. But I kind of want to, look at some characters, not necessarily Oliver. We can touch on him, but I think there's some other more interesting things going on. So when we last left Thea, she had decided that, well, she found out that Malcolm Merlyn was her dad. Did she find out that Oliver was? I'm totally forgetting now. She doesn't know that Oliver is the Arrow.
Well, she didn't when we last saw her.
When we last saw her, right. I'm just trying to remember what actually was revealed.
Who knows what, she's learned at Dark Arrow Summer Camp or wherever.
Right, so
she's
she got it. She changed into her dark leather outfit and decided to hop into a limo with her dad and go off and, like you said, train potentially to, who knows. So what do you think she's been up to over the summer?
Well, I think now I made a point of saying, she didn't know about Oliver. I think Malcolm would probably fill her in on all the details of what's going on. I think one of his key strategies for getting her to go with him, I guess I don't want to say trust him because I'm not sure she fully trusted him, but was the fact that he had never lied to her. So I think within that, he's going to explain to her everything that happened with, the Queen family, mm-hmm. including Oliver.
Yeah.
So I think she will come back probably knowing about him. And I have to kind of believe, just because after all, she is Speedy, kind of, that he may train her in some sort of way.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I think she's getting trained in some fashion as well. With archery, just the fact, like you said, that she's called Speedy, as a nickname that bodes for the fact that, she may, get... arrow firing abilities through the show.
Arrow firing abilities.
Archery skills. There we go. That's the word I was looking for.
I kind of like arrow firing abilities better, but
well, that would be what it says on her toy packaging, right? Arrow firing abilities.
You squeeze the legs together.
You squeeze the legs together and poof, just fires off an arrow. But it's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't even really thought about the fact that. He probably would fill her in on all the mysteries of the Queen family, which I think would just drive the wedge further between her and Oliver, because like that's all that either of them have left now, right? They both lost their parents, and if she doesn't feel she's really a part of that family, you know, it just it leaves her alone, but it also leaves, you know, Oliver kind of out alone on his, you know, by himself as well. So interesting.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's another, I guess, bonus for Malcolm is that it continues to drive the wedge.
Right.
And I suppose builds the trust just because he's telling her the truth.
Right. It's that interesting, you know, like a Star Wars reference, you know, it's like the Sith, right? They never lie when they're saying stuff, even though they're the bad guys and they're apparently doing things for the wrong reasons. They are very seductive and, you know, hey, we're always telling you the truth. And it's like, that's true. If you look back, the Jedi are the ones that are lying. So that's...
Can you imagine the conversation, though? Because it's so far-fetched, you know? So, you know, your father was involved in this secret organization and your mother plotted to kill your father and your brother was on the ship and now he is a arrow-fighting superhero and, you know, and Darth Vader is Luke's father. I mean,
what? No.
You're just being ridiculous now.
Yeah.
But it has to have been a surreal conversation to hear all of that.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, what I'm about to tell you is going to sound crazy, but it's true. And it's like, yeah, right, whatever. So I can see that. I mean, and the characters on the show have enough secrets from one another. I can't imagine anybody taking any news they hear, like, well, because there have been enough betrayals and things like that.
On the other hand, I can't imagine them all being all that shocked anymore, you know? Doesn't there come a time when you're like, oh, yeah, I guess I should have seen that one. Oh, well, what else you got?
That's true. But, you know, anything that happens with Malcolm, you know, as you've pointed out on our podcast before, is kind of a telenovela. So, you know, Mexican soap opera here. So it's
I'm really starting to enjoy it, actually.
It is. Once you pointed that out to me, it's enhanced my enjoyment of those scenes because if I could just, you know, maybe I'll put the DVD in now and listen to those scenes in Spanish because it's available, I think. Oh, no.
Is it available? No, oh, my gosh.
No, it's it's Spanish subtitles, but I don't think it's Spanish language. I think it's only English and maybe French on the DVDs. I forgot to check on that.
French. Why French?
We'll be reviewing the DVD here and the Blu-ray here in just a moment.
Okay,
so.
All right.
As I mentioned earlier, Katie Loss is coming back to the show, which I, you know, I said was interesting because when we last saw Sarah, she was boarding a freighter with Nyssa and the League of Assassins and, you know, taken off and, like, she basically saying, I'm not coming back. So I think it's safe to assume Sarah comes back, but what do you think Sarah has to offer on the show? For another season now. I felt she lived, or she provided, you know, a great purpose in season two because she was a counterpoint to Oliver's striving to become a better hero, a better person. And she pointed out that, you know, exactly what he was like when he started, even though she had been doing, you know, this kind of for a while. And it gave Oliver a chance to mentor as well as use her as a reflection of himself and, you know, make the decision not to kill anymore. So what do you think Sarah can provide to Oliver and or the team in season three here?
I think she's going to pass the mantle on to Laurel, and I think she's going to do it by dying.
No.
Yeah. I mean, oh. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I don't
like
want that.
That
either.
But that's really where I see it going. At least after I've seen the trailers with Laurel doing a little booty kick in here, I think that's kind of the direction it might go.
Can she just go to a farm for a while and just hang out?
Yeah, I'll set up a farm if she'll go to a farm. She can come to my farm.
All right. Hey, so that's interesting.
Keep in mind, even if that did happen, this is the comic book world. That doesn't necessarily mean she's gone
for good. I know. And there are people that come back from supposed death already. So, So she's going to be there. So she was there for Oliver in season two. So she's going to be there for Laurel in season three, you think?
Possibly, yeah.
Okay. I think that's an interesting take on it because, as we've discussed on our podcast before, Laurel is, I mean, Laurel's gone through her own issues, and people online still, you know, complain that she is not a great character. At, you know, maybe it's just because she's not written well, or maybe they just did not get a dynamic enough actor. I don't know. I would like to see Laurel have some more function in the show as a whole. There are so many characters that the show does have to deal with. It becomes difficult. Someone's always going to get the short end of the stick, so to speak.
Well, let me put this out there with Laurel a little, since she's next here on our list. But
right.
I kind of agree with the character analysis is she hasn't been the best. And you know, I have made no secret that she hasn't been my favorite, especially this season for parts of it anyway. But she's just gone in so many different directions. I think it's hard to establish some sort of character structure for her. But, you know, here's the thing. If they're sort of grooming her to be Black Canary, which is who Black Canary was in the comics, is Laurel Lance, you've got kind of a good little breeding ground there to do it because she if you think back to the people that Oliver has kind of worked with as, we'll say, sidekicks, you know, for lack of a better word. You had Sarah, who was already trained and could clearly kick anybody's butt pretty easily.
Including Oliver's.
Including Oliver's, yeah. And then you had Roy, who was, you know, not a superhero, but then they gave him these superpowers, so he automatically had, you know, a lot of potential and abilities that Oliver didn't have to really worry about. But when you go to Sarah, who is not
Laurel,
Laurel, who is not that kind of character, then you have more potential for story there, you know, where he has to kind of train her to be there. Maybe she'll get seriously injured. I guess that kind of happened to Roy, but even so, he had these big powers with the Mirakuru. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. For them to start developing Laurel into a character from the ground up.
Well, I mean, with Laurel, I feel like from the beginning, and again, maybe this is just my preconceived notion from being a comic fan, I feel like they really need to develop a love story there. And they start to, and then they pull back, and then they push it over towards Felicity, but then they tease that and pull that back. And then, here comes Sarah, so we'll tease that, and they actually were involved, right? So
and in the meantime, out of all those people,
yeah,
Oliver he gets the good side every time.
I mean, you know, it's women in black leather. I mean, that'll get you. But you know, I mean, so the one person he really shouldn't be involved with, he is. Maybe Laurel isn't really the Laurel that I'm thinking of, you know, and maybe I have to start looking at the character that they presented on the show as that character. Like, I think we keep going, Laurel's going to get trained. She's going to become the Black Canary and then this and then this. And it's like, maybe that's just not the destiny for this character, even though they've given her the name Laurel Lance, Dinah Laurel Lance. I mean, that's just,
well,
you know.
And yeah. I mean, who says they ever...
It's preconceived.
Who says they ever have to turn her into Black Canary or even ever have to have a relationship with Oliver?
The internet said that. don't make
true.
It a liar. So anyway, I don't know. I would like to see Laurel getting trained, whether it's with Oliver or with Sarah. She's now part of Team Arrow. She's kind of in on, you know, what's going on. And I feel like they can really... They can do more with her. I mean, they've teased stuff. Like, first season, I mean, she was kicking butt. We know she has some abilities because her dad's an officer and she, you know, he's provided her with training and stuff like that, obviously. So, I don't know. I just give her more to do and make it relevant and not just her own story kind of off by herself.
Yeah, and I don't want them to force it. I mean, they do a pretty good job of not forcing things on this show. They just kind of let them... evolve into whatever they will. And Felicity's a really good example of that because she was really never intended to be the permanent character that she's become. But it just worked. It kind of worked naturally, which is what they haven't maybe in my opinion, haven't done as successfully with Laurel.
And that may just be the dynamic, between the actors, right? I mean, and is it because, Stephen Amell is working more closely with, Team Arrow, and so his scenes never really involve Katie Cassidy, that there's not been that ability to get the, that chemistry evolving, or is it just the way that Emily works against Steven and she's got just different comic timing and stuff like that? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, it could be some of that, but the characters themselves, where they have been written, or at least where she has been written, it's like I said, she's just all over the place. First she's this smart, butt-kicking lawyer in the first season, and then she kind of is working for the DA, and then she's an alcoholic, and then she's getting in trouble, but then she's, getting her stuff together, and then she's having family issues, and I mean, it's just all over the place.
Yeah. But it's not like she's all over the place one episode and then somewhere different the next episode. They have done a good job, I would say, of the arc. I mean, like we talked about this season, they took her down and you thought, all right, she's down. And they kept taking her down. And you're like, wow, she's really hitting bottom. And then she hit bottom even further. And they're turning her character around. So they're taking their time with the character arc. I think to do it properly, it may just not be what we want to see. I think that is also the problem. It's like it's just taking too long to get to the good stuff. Who knows?
Yeah, that could be it, too.
So, so Quentin, Laurel's dad, last we saw, he collapsed on the dock and had some sort of internal hemorrhaging from the fight with Slade Wilson. What do you think is going on with him? Is he coming back?
Is he coming back?
Yeah.
Well, he's clearly coming back.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah, but, you kind of can't keep away from seeing him in the teasers, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he looks nice and healthy in the teasers, so, I mean, he is coming back. I kind of actually thought they would tease something wrong with him more, but it doesn't appear to be.
Because it seemed really serious. It's like to kind of leave us on that kind of cliffhanger, and then, I mean, I'm sure they'll mention something at the beginning of season three, but in all the previews, he's like, he's buzzed his head. He's shaved off all his hair. And supposedly, I think from what I heard, he's like the chief of police now. Because everybody else died.
Yeah, or like captain or something.
Maybe he's captain. Or maybe that's what it is, yeah.
But definitely got a promotion.
Yeah, because again, everybody else in the department's dead. So,
that helps, in getting promotions.
So we've still got this interesting triangle between Sarah, Laurel, and Quentin where, I think Sarah and Laurel are starting to make amends with each other because Laurel now knows that her sister is this vigilante and, kind of the background and stuff. So Quentin doesn't have to keep that from her. But I still think, they're... will be some tension in that dynamic, the family dynamic that they've got there because, Sarah's been gone for so long. She goes away again, and when she comes back, like, what are they supposed to think? So I feel like Quentin's going to be, dealing with his kind of two crazy daughters here. And, of course, he doesn't want them to be at risk. He's an officer of the law, and is, like, overprotective.
I don't foresee his character really being that much different than what we've seen, other than having to deal with the fact that he was only an officer instead of a detective this season. But
right,
I see him being Quentin, which is good because I.
Well, and if he does become captain, he was already really wanting to work with the Arrow. So I mean, we've got kind of a Commissioner Gordon Batman thing coming up here, where it's like if you're captain, it's like if you want to work with the Arrow, that's. That's
yeah, but
call.
He was kind of doing that anyway, even though he didn't have permission to do it.
Right, but now he can do it for the department at a bigger scale.
That's true.
So whereas he was kind of having to do it, and as soon as he found out, they're
get
like,
Oliver
"You got
on the payroll there?" Or?
Yeah. Well, Oliver needs some money. I mean, where's he getting his money now? Because he's like SOL on his Queen Consolidated, he got shut out of that. I'm sure he still got some trust fund somewhere, but...
Yeah. Well, old What's-Her-Nugget, though, is dead, so...
Yes, but Ray Palmer's coming in to take over, so it's not like Oliver is probably going to be able to reclaim his rightful heir, heiress, or whatever, anytime soon. So, okay, so Diggle and Lila. We found out at the end of last season that Lila is pregnant. Oops. And Diggle is the father. Hey-o.
I thought Diggle was the careful one. On Team Arrow, isn't he always the one that's...
He's the one that uses more protection than anybody else. Of course, he did get taken out.
Sometimes.
Yeah. He did get taken out by that Mirakuru acolyte guy when he was sitting in the car staking out... Or no, when he was a sniper trying to take out Brother Blood, I think. Or no, it was Slade. I guess he was going to sniper Slade and then someone... clobbered him over the head. So do you see the do you see them continuing with the Diggle storyline? I'm assuming they will, show some other stuff here.
I think not only will they continue with the Diggle storyline. I mean, you don't introduce the fact that someone's about to have a baby and then kind of not keep going with that storyline.
And it'll be about 9 months later now. Because they kind of do it in real time, so she may have actually...
Has it been 9 months? That would be definitely close to that.
Yeah, so she may have already had the baby by the time the show starts, or the season starts here.
Okay, so I think what you'll see him now whenever he's helping Oliver, doing sniper duties or spying on somebody from a rooftop. Now he's going to have like a little baby harness on his chest.
Yes, strapped to his chest. It's going to be Roy and Diggle and Oliver, and it's going to be like The Hangover, except in Sterling City.
Yeah, I'm picturing like he's standing on a rooftop with goggles, and then the baby's got little tiny goggles looking too. It'd be like Master Blaster. That's what they could do. Like
Master Blaster
from Mad Max. Yeah.
Master Blaster.
Who runs Starling City? I think they'll kind of develop that story, and I also think that he will probably have some more dealings, more connections with Amanda Waller and Suicide Squad. I'm fairly certain of that, actually.
Yeah. It sounds like Amanda Waller is going to continue because we'll see her potentially in flashbacks. Obviously, if Diggle is involved with Lila, then we've got Argus and we've got Amanda Waller there. So there's a lot, and the Suicide Squad kind of comes with all that package. Before we step over to the Suicide Squad really quick, I you just said something really interesting that I hadn't even really thought about. You said, I kind of don't think they would, talk about a character getting pregnant and then just like, drop it. Which just reminded me, hey, doesn't Oliver have a kid somewhere?
At least 5 years old, 6 years old now.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up a little bit earlier because, you had talked about Colin Donnell coming back. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe that flashback might tie into that somehow. So
interesting.
But, yeah, he's got a kid too. But that he never knew that. So they can really bring it back at any time. Diggle is prepared. Well,
yeah.
Not prepared so much, but he has no choice.
Right. So Suicide Squad, do you think we will be seeing them again this season?
Yes.
Okay.
And I do because it seems like they've kind of teased Harley Quinn a little bit.
They teased Harley Quinn a bunch. I don't know if you saw it, there is a hidden deleted scene. It's not listed as a regular deleted scene on the DVD Blu-ray. And it's an extended scene of them breaking all the guys out. And it's what we've seen before with Deadshot, saying, hey, how do we get out of here? Remember, we got the boom. We got the explosives in our neck. And then Diggle's just continuing to talk and unlock the cages. And then it cuts to him going over to another one. And Deadshot's like, no, not her. She is nuts. And then you hear her going... there's a shot of a blonde woman from the back wearing the Argus jumpsuit, so you never really see her face, right? So they can cast
whoever
they want.
Still, though.
Right, but you see the two ponytails, and it's Harley Quinn's voice because they got Arlene Sorkin to do it, who is the voice of Harley on Batman the Animated Series. But she calls Diggle chocolate pudding, which I thought was hilarious. Just since she calls everybody Puddin' and calling him Chocolate Puddin' because he's black. So anyway, yeah, it would be great to see Harley Quinn on the Suicide Squad. We've got some other, you know, villains that could potentially show up on there. I'd love to see Deadshot back again. I mean, I think there was talk about him getting his own spinoff show at some point because, you know, he's a really cool character. He's sort of the Punisher of the DC Universe, I think.
Or maybe a whole Suicide Squad show has been rumored.
That would be interesting as well, yeah.
Not sure they're quite ready for that. I wouldn't be against it, but I'm not sure they're going. There's so many other projects they got going on with superhero shows. I think that would be far down the line.
The things that have been talked about recently. There's a Teen Titans show that people have talked about, and then I guess this is probably happening. It sounds like there's a Supergirl show starting next season on CBS. So luckily, it doesn't tie into the CW shows. Because we're not doing a Supergirl podcast. We're not. No. Absolutely not.
I remember saying the same thing about Flash.
Putting my foot down right now.
I think we're pretty safe on this one.
Yeah. So we talked about Felicity a little bit. What else do you think they've got for this character to do? She, since Oliver's kind of out of Queen Consolidated, she's got, you know, her full-time gig now is kind of working tech and doing, you know, helping plan missions and stuff, I guess, with Oliver. What else are we going to see with her?
Well, I think she's going to go on a few dates.
Oh, some dates, you say?
Yeah.
Little smoochy-smoochy here?
I don't know how I feel about this. It's been very, very teased. I think officially teased that there's going to be some at least attempted chemistry between Felicity and Oliver. I don't know.
If she gets captured, you know, more than once this season because she's involved with Oliver, I'm going to be really upset. Because she, you know, it's like, you stay here.
Okay, wait. And then she's captured multiple times each season when she wasn't involved with Oliver.
I want them to stop that.
Yeah.
Because she's smarter than that. I mean, and by now she should really be smarter than that. Like, technically.
And she did a little workout last year. She should have some skills. She just need to be getting captured.
Yeah, Sarah trained her for a little bit, so she's, you know, she's working on that, her boxing skills. Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about the relationship between those two. You know, I really like the sort of the tension that you get from the fact that you think, look, these two are perfect for each other, but they're never going to get together. So it's always just going to be sort of, you know.
Fly by night, some fly by day. Yeah, the moonlighting there.
That's, as soon as those two got together on moonlighting, I'm telling you, it ruined the whole show.
Killed it right in the crapper right there.
Yep.
So, okay, and then probably the best for last, Oliver. They going to do anything with him this season, or is he just kind of going to be static again?
Is he in this season? I can't remember. Has he signed on to be regular? Or?
I think so. I'm pretty sure Steven said he was shooting a couple scenes, but there's definitely one episode that he's not in, or if he is, it's only in the flashbacks or something like that. So,
wow. Well, I'm surprised because I don't know how they're going to fit him in with all the other characters and storylines that they have. So.
Arrow, though. Interesting.
It sounds like that's not his name. That's just everybody has arrows now. You got Malcolm. We're guessing maybe Thea, Sarah. Yeah. I'm guessing Laurel will learn to do it. And you know, Diggle, when he drives, he turns on a green arrow.
He does, right. So, of course, Felicity, when she puts her headphones on, what kind does she use? She uses Bose, right? So.
that's going to be the spinoff. It's going to be Diggle and Felicity. It'll be called Bows and Arrow.
I'd love
that. Was awful.
Even if they did a comic one shot that was just the two of them, like having to run their own mission because Oliver was injured or something, that would be something. So,
I think as far as Oliver goes, I think he's going to try to have a little bit more of a normal life before realizing that there's no way that Oliver can have a normal life. And then he's probably going to go a little bit more toward the superhero side of it. And
do you think he will adopt the green descriptor in front of his name this season?
I don't think he'll ever do that.
Okay.
I think and some of the stuff that the writer said on some of the extras that we'll talk about even kind of makes me think that that's not going to happen. At least not him. Somebody may mention it.
See, that's what I was about to say. I don't think he will adopt. Like, he doesn't seem the one to want to name himself. Like, he's just Oliver. He's just doing his thing.
Yeah. Well, he never even said Arrow.
Right. Everybody else calls him the Arrow. Mm-hmm. And everybody else called him the Vigilante. So
he said,
I don't
want to be known as the Hood anymore. Well, what do you want to be called? And he never answered.
Yeah. Based on what we've seen in season two, I think Quentin will call him the Green Arrow. I mean, he's the one that's pretty much named him throughout, given him each of the different names, the Hood, the Vigilante, the Arrow. So I think that's Quentin's job on the show to give the shout out.
Narrow down what we should call him.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to call you, I don't know, Barrow Arrow. I don't know. No, that's not quite right. I'm not going to get there. So, and then as you already brought her up, the Russian maid. So since Oliver does have to learn to speak Russian at some point, and he gets the Bratva tattoo, I think this would be a perfect opportunity to bring her back in to show that she is actually leading the Russian mob there in Starling City and not Nikolai.
She was the ringleader all the time.
Yeah, under their nose, and they never knew it. So, okay, one other thing I wanted to discuss with you, and this has kind of just been one of these weird niggling little questions since the end of season two. Malcolm Merlyn supposedly died, right? And then we find out, I think it was, what, second to last episode, that he's back or he's alive. And, you know, he returns and is talking to Thea at the train station. I think it was the train station. But anyway.
Well, yeah, but we found that out before when he came and talked to Moira.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. But we didn't see too much. Like, I think he was just in his suit. He wasn't in his Dark Archer outfit.
No, yeah.
Right?
I don't think so.
Because it's like making a house call. It's, hey, I just threw this on. So he's in his Dark Archer outfit at this train station talking to Thea. He had, and we still don't know, like, how he survived, right? It's just, you know, because comics, right? That's, there's no excuse or no answer to that. Though, you know, I mean, okay, he learned meditation techniques in the East, or the League of Assassins, you know, taught him some way to fake his death or whatever. He's wearing this weird little necklace, and I don't know if you noticed this, but it looks like a vial or maybe a fishing lure or like a fishing weight. I would say it's probably about, what?
Maybe that's where he's been. He's just fishing.
You know, because, you know, when he's grabbing his outfit, he just goes to the tackle box. Whatever. But it looks like it's probably about 2 inches long, maybe 3 inches, and it's green in the middle, but it's got like a silver pointy tips. And he wears it on a string around his neck. It hangs below his bandolier. But you saw it in a couple shots in the season finale. And I was just wondering, like, it seemed prominent. Like, that was something that he was not wearing previously. And so I feel that it might be significant, but who knows?
I didn't notice it when I was watching the show. But after you got this image of him in that scene, it really stands out.
I mean, that's, and it glints, like, when he's moving, it's like, what is that? Because he's all dark, except for this shiny little thing on his neck. So, I'm wondering if it's, like, some kind of totem that, you know, is, like, you know, you have to wear this if you want to, you know, keep living or something like that. You know, that's what helped bring him back to life. You know, it's some mystical sort of amulet.
Hmm.
Or, again, it could just be something from his tackle box.
I don't know. I tried to think about what it might be. My only thought was that it could be connected somehow to Ra's al Ghul coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we know that that Sarah will be back, so that also might be connected to Ra's al Ghul coming. But I don't know. Maybe it's Tommy's ashes or something.
in a little vial on his neck.
Then it's just sad.
That would be kind of weird. I'm going to post this picture on our Facebook page, so if you guys want to check it out, just go to facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast and look in our photo section. If anybody
even more
has
than that,
any...
I want some speculation on it. I want.
Yeah,
I want
I was supposed
to say,
take a look and let us know what you think. So, and then I guess to wrap up the show this week here, why don't we go over the recently released DVD Blu-ray package, which just came out this last Tuesday, about a week ago here.
All right, well, hold on. Let me – all right, crack it open. There it is.
Okay. Again, if you heard our summer show last year, number 3, we went over season 1. I love the way they put their package together because – for $5 more, I get all the Blu-rays and the DVDs. So, you know, I can run them on my computer. I can play them on my Blu-ray player, whatever machine I happen to be around. Oh, and I've got Ultraviolet on there as well, so I can download stuff. So I can get the episodes and the extras in a variety of ways. So there's a DVD-only version, which is 5 discs. Then there's the Blu-ray version, which is 9 discs. It's 4 Blu-rays and 5 DVDs, and they're all in the same package. And it, like I said, it's awesome. So it includes this Ultraviolet stuff, which I've never really used, but I guess you can download. You know, you can sign up and download episodes over the web or something like that. I'm going to cover these based on the Blu-ray discs. But just remember that the DVDs have an extra disc, so the numbers don't quite line up. Like, for example, if I say that the Blu-ray disc has year 1, the recap episode, plus episodes 1 through 5 on it, the DVD may only have episodes 1 through 4 and the year 1 recap, which I'm glad they put that year 1 recap on there. I think that's really, it was a clever thing to show it the week before Arrow premiered in season 2, but then to put it on the disc. So it's like, oh, if you buy this disc, it's like a friend of mine was like, do I need to finish watching season 1? I'm like, just watch the teaser or, you know, the 1 hour year 1 recap. It'll be fine. He's like, you sure? He's like, yeah.
But you still should watch the episodes. They were good episodes.
I told him there were some good episodes, but I mean, like, if he wants to catch up so he can be ready for season 3.
Right.
Watch, you know, it's like, do you have 22 hours or do you have an hour, you know, because he's still got to watch episode 2 stuff. So anyway,
you got to go to the bathroom in there somewhere too. So
yeah,
that's going to be extra. Just
put it on your screen in the bathroom, right? That's Ultraviolet, whatever. So anyway, okay. So Blu-ray disc number 1, year 1 recap, episodes 1 through 5, plus you get deleted scenes from episodes 1, 2, and 4. And I did not watch one of the episodes to see if the deleted scene was incorporated into the episode, but you can click a link just to watch the deleted scene by itself. I don't know. Did you check that out at all?
No, I didn't have time to check that out because we haven't had it very long. I did see all the bonus stuff, but I didn't watch any of the actual episodes. But didn't they do that on season 1? The deleted scenes were incorporated?
I think the deleted scene was cut into the episode, but you could also just play it by itself.
Yeah. I think
so. That's the way I recall it. Okay, so Blu-ray disc number 2, episodes 6 through 11, plus the deleted scenes for 6, 7, and 9. Disc 3 has episodes 12 through 17, plus deleted scenes from episodes 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. And then disc 4 has episodes 18 through 23, with deleted scenes from episodes 19 and 23. This flashback on 23 confused the heck out of me because it is the scene starts and it's the scene where Deathstroke kills Moira, and I'm like, wait, that wasn't this episode. Why are they calling this a deleted scene? Are they showing some other? Did you get a chance to look at this one?
I saw the episode. I mean, the deleted scene.
You saw the deleted scene. So I'm watching it, and this was awesome because basically what happens is Deathstroke doesn't kill Moira. He gets tackled by Oliver, and then Oliver ends up killing Deathstroke right there. And I'm like, what are we watching? And then all of a sudden it cuts back to a close up of Oliver's face. And he's like, obviously just, you know, reliving it, but having a fantasy that he was actually able to stop Slade at that point. That was brilliant. I wish that was actually broadcast.
But so what? But what was the purpose? I mean, I guess there was no purpose. It deleted it. But what would that have accomplished for that episode?
I think it accomplished exactly what I was getting at. It's like, why are we watching this again? Didn't we see this? And then all of a sudden it's like, wait, it didn't happen the way we thought it happened. But then it becomes the fact that it's a flashback. And it's just Oliver, you know, trying to grapple with the thing. It's like, I should have stopped him then, you know, because by that point in the final episode, it was so hard for him to stop her or to stop Slade. You know,
so
it
he's just having fantasies of what if.
Yeah.
And feeling that regretful.
Yeah. I mean, I think it shows the kind of state that he was in.
Yeah, I guess. So. I was glad they cut that one because it was just it was a little confusing for me and yeah, I don't know. But I mean it was a cool episode. It was a cool scene, but
yeah. And then the hidden Harley Quinn deleted scene that I was talking about earlier is hidden after that. And then disc 4 for the Blu-ray and then disc 5 for the DVD has all the other extras on it. So it includes From Vigilante to Hero, which I didn't actually get a chance to watch that one. I was busy watching all the other stuff.
Oh, I like that one.
So is that just kind of like a historical, like here's what's happened?
It's a sort of a here's what's happened in the entire series, but it talks with writers and actors about the process, about the journey, and how Oliver Queen has gone from this, you know, just this spoiled rich kid to learning how to be strong and then learning how to be a vigilante, but turning into this hero and what makes him that. I just thought it was a really kind of a cool little, almost like a cool documentary about the character of Oliver Queen.
Oh, that's great.
And I thought it was done really, really well.
I'm surprised they didn't come and talk to us because basically this ain't what we've been doing here for two seasons on the podcast.
Well,
so
what I think, I had this thought actually while I was watching.
Okay.
It.
Of course you did.
I think actually they watched, they listened to us, and then they made this.
Oh,
they talked about so many things that you and I have discussed throughout the seasons, and we were right on a lot of them. The same thing that the writers and producers were thinking is the kind of stuff that we talked about ahead of time as we were speculating.
It's still obvious, Josh. It's simple. It's really clear. You just watch the episode and we can talk about it.
And I don't say that to brag or anything about
toot your own
horn. And I knowing what's going on, but it was the in-depth stuff that we really like kind of digging into. Which was, you know, just another reason why I kind of like that is because you and I really like to analyze the overall themes.
Yeah, I mean, if the show wasn't worthwhile for digging in deeper like that, I don't think we'd still be doing this podcast.
I agree.
So, okay, so one of the other extras is called How Do They Do That? The Visual Effects of Arrow. This was very long, and it didn't really, I mean, even as a person that is a fan of visual effects, I was not. I was like, wow, really? So you're going to show it to us in real time, and it takes them 6 months to produce these. So this is a really long piece.
This was actually my least favorite extra.
Okay.
The stuff was cool, but then they talked with the people that did the visual effects, you know, the computer animators and things like that.
Yeah.
Who, no offense to them, because this isn't their job, but not the most entertaining people to listen to.
Exactly. They sit and work on computers all day. They do not talk to DVD extra watching public, you know. So I felt really uncomfortable with a couple of the guys talking because they were like, I mean, they really seemed like they were not comfortable talking.
No. Yeah. And some of the things they were showing were kind of questionable. I'm like, you have all this amazing stuff in the show, and this is the visual effect you're going to show me about?
Yeah. Stuff from the pilot. Or from the season premiere, I mean.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, just like how they made the plane, which, again, I like that stuff. But there's so many other things they could have shown that were more interesting and exciting than that. I was just kind of surprised they spent so much time on that.
Well, that kind of stuff was on the next extra, which was called Wirework, The Impossible Moves of Arrow, which showed how they did all these stunts with all this rigging and like things where it's like it's obvious that they're on a wire being pulled. But the fact that how complex some of these things were. The one that really impressed me was And it's kind of hard to tell because of the editing, but it's the one where Solomon Grundy punches Arrow up into the air, and as he falls down, he punches him sideways, and he goes back into some boxes. That was a one-take shot for them. I mean, they had double rigging on this guy to pull him up, and as he dropped, pull him sideways into the boxes, which was, like, seriously intense. I mean, that's the stunt team, they... I want to talk to him on the show. I mean, these guys are all business, and they know what they're doing. And the fact that they can use this kind of wire work to actually put the actors, like Stephen Amell and Katie Lotz, and put them right into the action, you know, 85-90% of the time, which is, it totally sells the show. And that's what they talk about here. So.
Well, and they go above and beyond the stunts that they really need to do for this show. I mean, you know, this show would still be exciting even without those really complex stunts, but they do it because they want to make it the best they possibly can. I think they do a really good job.
They're having fun on the show in the same way that I think, like, Stephen Amell has fun on the show.
Yep, I agree.
They really enjoy it. Then there's also the 2013 Arrow Comic-Con panel presented for you here. That seems to be kind of a thing for DVDs to put on them now.
Yeah.
So the S.H.I.E.L.D. one had that, I remember. And then there is the gag reel, which I think is hidden on the DVD, but you can find that online. That's one of the first things that gets revealed. And so that's got some funny, you know, cut-ups and laughs and stuff for, you know, characters slipping or, you know, doing weird stuff. So all in all, you get basically five extras, like three little documentaries, the Comic-Con panel, the gag reel. You get all the episodes, plus you get 14 deleted scenes, or deleted scenes from 14 episodes, which is just under, it's about two-thirds of the episodes, So, pretty good package. I would like to have some commentary, but, you know, I can live without that, I guess.
I liked it. I thought the stuff they included was good, except for that one visual effects thing was a little slow, but I thought it was a little lighter than season one, but as I looked back at it, it actually is about the same amount. They have about the same things that they had in that one. So
it's very comparable.
Yeah. It's very good. You know, if I had to have one complaint as far as the design of the box, I would say, I think I might have mentioned this last year too, but I really wish the DVDs looked more different than the Blu-rays.
Yes.
Just color-wise or something, or design-wise, just because they are almost identical. In order to find which one's a Blu-ray, you just have to look for the Blu-ray logo on it.
I agree. There were things that we wanted them – from a design and packaging standpoint, it's okay. The fact that you get the 9 discs, I think, is – that's really where the effort was put into it. And, you know, the Blu-rays look like the same things as the DVDs, right? And you probably wouldn't have them both together. I don't know when they decided that, like, putting them in the same set is, like, a thing. But obviously they did it last year, too. So
yeah.
Well, I'm glad we finally got through all that stuff, because now I feel like I've gotten all this kind of discussion out of my system. And I am ready to come back in, about 2 weeks here and talk about the season premiere of season 3.
Yep, it can't come fast enough for me, because I'm really excited to find out what happens to all those characters and see how many of them we got right in that list.
Agreed. And I hope you'll come back and talk to me about it.
Oh, sure, I will.
And I hope everybody out there listening decides to come back and join us and, you know, tell your friends about us. But for now, that's what we've got on the current summer special number 6 of Green Justice, an Arrow podcast.
So we hope you enjoyed listening to this and all our other summer specials, and season 3 is coming up. If you do, please make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes. That helps everyone kind of find us and get to know our show, too. You can contact us by email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com or on Twitter at greenjusticepod, or you can go to our Facebook page. Remember, I want to know what you think about that necklace from Malcolm Merlyn. I want to know.
Okay, I'll get that posted.
Yeah. So that's facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And you can also check out the other shows that Josh and I do, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, and then our newest one, Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, which we will have, the first episode's out on that, and then that premieres right before the first episode of Season 3 of Arrow. So that podcast will be following our Green Justice season premiere as well. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, as I mentioned before, please be sure to tell all your friends, because we want everyone to be listening to this because we think it's a great podcast. There's a lot of great discussion on here, and obviously the producers, you know, felt that they should put that kind of stuff on the DVD after listening to us, you know. So I think that's where it is. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed the city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.